It's good to be gathered together in the presence of the Lord today. Well, today I'm going to do something I don't know that I've ever done before, and that is to bring forth some of the vision that the Lord has given us as a church. As I mentioned last week, that today I would bring some awareness of areas of church life and ministry nationally and internationally that we're involved in that perhaps many of you do not know about or do not know in full extent. And today we can rejoice together in the Lord and then set our hearts to His presence to continue the great work of God and to stretch out our lives to serve Him. I want to begin with a scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, where the prophet said, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what God will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." How many know that sometimes we need to be corrected? We need some adjustment in our vision. This prophet was perplexed. He was a little confused about life and circumstances and the nations and their turmoil. He said, "I'm going to stand in the watchtower. I'm going to go to the place of prayer, the place of the watchman." Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." When God gives a vision, you have to wait for it. But it will surely come because God's promise is true. And if we're faithful to the word of the Lord and faithful to the vision of God, it will prosper because it's the desire of the heart of the Lord to bless the earth with His presence and with His word and His power. "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart." We need to get up into the tower of the Lord. We need to find our place in the watchtower. The watchtower, again, is the place of prayer. The watchmen are the first line of defense on the house of God. The watchmen are the prayer warriors, the intercessors. And as we find ourselves drawing into the place of prayer, if we go up into the tower with God and begin to pray and call on the Lord, we will see vision. We will have His vision. His vision will unfold because that's where it comes, in the place of prayer. And then God says, "Write the vision, read it, and run with the vision." Jesus said, if you go into your secret place and pray, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The Father sees in secret. The seeing of God is in the secret place. If you want the vision of God, you have to get into the secret place with God. You have to get into the place of prayer. As we call on the Lord, as we surrender our hearts and call out for His will on our lives and His will in the earth, the seeing of God comes into our spirit, doesn't it? Our eyes are open, our spirit catches fire, and we're able to be involved with the work of the Lord. So this morning, I want to talk about some of the aspects of the church that are obvious, some that are not as obvious, but also bring in a little on the nations, and then I'll bring an exhortation from the Word. There are two sides to our ministry, the national and the international, and that's why we love it twice as much. There are many ministries in the house that are obvious to all. They're announced every week, and today in the foyer, there's a display of the different ministries that take place in this church. Again, many of them are well known. The children's ministry that takes place week by week, and the action program during the fall and winter and spring season with the children's ministry. There's the youth ministry, young adult ministry, they're announced, men's life, ladies morning out, ladies ministry. These are ministries that are very well known. They're before us all the time. But there are other ministries that are a little more hidden, and they have different areas of reach in this house and in the city, and I want to mention a few of those. One is the care ministry, Christ-centered addiction recovery education. Rick and Angie Bainan oversee this ministry, and this ministry meets on Thursday evening, but Rick and Angie are shepherding people every day, all day long, seeking to bring people out of the addiction realms and bring them into salvation in Jesus Christ. And truly, this ministry has been such a blessing to the church. And dozens upon dozens of people have been saved and baptized and are taking classes and are learning to walk with the Lord. Dozens of people have come through this ministry in the last 2 or 3 years, and we thank the Lord for this grassroots aspect of the house of God. We also have Messages of Mercy, which is administrated and governed and led by Joanne Maurice, and it's the ministry that writes messages and letters to the women at the Edmonton Institution. And every month, letters go to the women there, and they are encouraged and blessed and shown the love of God. This ministry is a wonderful ministry of mercy and love and compassion. And I was so blessed. It's under the chaplaincy of the Edmonton Institution. As I went there, it must be a year or so ago, to see a number of ladies being baptized in water because they've come to faith in Christ. The efforts of this church and other people in the city that are involved in that ministry, how wonderful. Many of you are not aware of the van ministry that takes place twice a month on Saturday nights, as took place last night. It's a ministry that is led by Tammy Schroeder, one of our district pastors. And twice a month, there's a van. It's a large van, and 7 women of this church, different people at different times, go with Tammy Schroeder, and they go out on the streets of the city on Saturday nights, and they're ministering to the women on the streets till 3 in the morning, sharing the love of God, blessing them, helping them, giving them some gifts, trying to minister and lead them to the Lord. That ministry takes place twice a month, and it goes deep into the night. And we thank God for what is taking place there. Hallelujah. We have the storm team led by Carlette Walker, which is our prayer and intercessory ministry. There are 28 people on this team right now. And any requests that come into the church and just the ongoing requests for the life of the church, the services, this team carries this intercessory burden continually. We thank God for them. We thank the Lord for this venue that He's given us. We wanted to be able to bless not only our own house of God, but the city of Edmonton and the rural regions that would come in. And we've been able to be blessed because we've been able to partner with Unite Productions, and we're able to bring in many of the great worship bands into this house of God, and people that come and gather to these concerts that are refreshed and blessed of the Lord. Sometimes a concert, the same worship band or same worship leader comes in, and this congregation or this house of God is sold out 2 nights in a row. On these concert nights, 1,800 people are in this building. 2 nights, 3,600 people. And the atmosphere is electrifying. It's beautiful to see the worship that takes place. I wonder where all the people come from. I wonder what their stories are. I wonder what rural communities they're from. But I see their heart of worship, and my own heart overflows to see the worship that takes place in this place under the name of the Lord. I stood one night and watched hundreds and hundreds of people as they worshiped, hands up and spirits pouring out to God. And of course, 90% of them, I didn't know who they are, but I saw their worship spirit, and I felt the word of the Lord say in my heart, I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. There are a true people of God. We may not see a lot of revival in our land as we'd want to. We might not see a great hunger and thirst for God like we'd want to. But God has a people in this region of the world that love Him and hunger after Him. And when the atmosphere is right, they can respond in the worship and praise the name of the Lord. We thank God that we're able to have the great Christian concerts in this house of the Lord. Now, a word to the international side. The Lord has blessed our church over couple of decades at least and more with some really strategic areas in the nations of the world. And one of the aspects we've worked in, I want to mention 4 or 5. One is the Widows and Orphans International. Widows Orphans International is a ministry we started approximately 15 years ago to minister to widows and orphans primarily in India, but also in Africa as they came on stream. and to bless their lives in a practical way, that we would work through apostolic leaders and the people they knew on the ground level, and that 100% of every dollar would go to the widow or the orphan that was in need. And over the years, hundreds and hundreds of people have been blessed. And this year, right now, we're sponsoring 420 widows and 299 orphans in these nations of the world. And much of it is because of the sponsorship direct one-on-one from the people of this house, because we have the renewal sponsorship every month in February of every year, and you have responded so wonderfully. Plus, the church takes on a number of orphans and widows because these pastors in these countries are so desperate for help, and we're able to do that as well. So, you know, approximately 700 widows and orphans that are being helped right now every month out of this church, and blessed in the areas of food and shelter, clothing, medical, education. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. May God be glorified. May God be glorified. We also, in India, I should bring up a few pictures of some of our apostolic leaders. I actually have 10 main apostolic leaders in the nations that are very closely related to me, and then there's others that are less related but still involved in our ministry. And I wanted to bring you the photos of a few. This is Apostle Gideon and Evelyn from Kenya. Our team went over to be with them, and we sent a team over a couple years ago, and they helped them plant a church. But they have a tremendous ministry, and I'm going to share about that in just a moment. Let's bring up the next picture. This is our pastor in Uganda, Benjamin Wamasura, and his wife Angela. I will share about them, what they're doing for the gospel. Next, our great Bishop Paul Bagitay from the Philippines. He was with us last year. He's looking to come to our Dreams and Visions conference this year as well. He has a great ministry. He oversees 250 churches in the Philippines, and we are obviously very partnered with them. This is Pastor Frank and Martha Joachim and their children in Kenya, and they are involved with our CTI ministry, which I'll explain in a moment, our theological institute. God has done a great work to birth something in their country and under their ministry. Dr. Sam and Jaya Matthews and their children in India. We've known this family for 15 years and have conducted conferences and ministry and dealt with Faith City, which is their main operation there, the orphanage, Bible college, church planting school, and Christian school. And then Dr. Sam's brother, Reverend Jameson and Mercy Matthews and their sons. And Brother Jameson, Reverend Jameson, heads up the New Life Pentecostal churches. There are approximately 200 churches that he oversees, even more than that now. And also he has the great church in Vizag in India, where we hold our conference. So I'm going to talk about what's taking place on the field a little bit. We do thank God that we have been invited to conduct conferences in a number of nations. One is India, Africa. Over time, we've been there, Philippines, and also the country, India, Philippines, Africa, those are the main ones. So, and I remember now, Pastor Craig brought us on stream with Nepal. He held a conference, and he's going there this fall in November to hold a conference for 150 pastors and teach and minister the word of the Lord there. So we thank the Lord. The expression flows out into the conferences of the world, and many pastors and Christian workers come, and we're able to minister out to them and bless them. As well, we have CTI. CTI is our Christ City Theological Institute. In 1996, we received recognition and approval from the Alberta government to offer divinity programs. Our Bible college is on par, full status with any other Bible college in Alberta. with the government of Alberta, and we're able to offer 1 year, 2 year, 3 year diploma of theology. And we started many years ago, and then the college kind of changed and adjusted in some ways, but 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we really felt the direction of the Lord that we should again launch our CTI, Christ City Theological Institute. And so we did that. We have approximately 20 students, and some will be graduating their third year in this next spring term. And we have audit students that come. And of course, anyone's welcome to audit the courses. We run on a modular basis, and that means that we study one course per month. We have 36 courses. This is our catalog. If you're interested in looking at the catalog, you can do that. Interestingly, in the last few months, we received a call from Pastor Frank Joachim in Kenya, and the Kenya government has wanted the clergymen, the pastors and ministers of their nation, to have some kind of formal biblical training. Many of them do not have that. And Pastor Frank, who is well known and has many connections in the country of Kenya, asked if we would launch CTI Kenya and get the approval from the Kenya government and be able to move out into their land with the CTI. And so we have done that. And we're into our third month with them. And there are five centers that he has, or I should say four right now. They're looking at another one, but four main centers. We have 115 students in Kenya right now taking CTI courses, and most of them are pastors and leaders of the Christian work in Kenya. So we thank God for that opportunity. I did want to mention with India that we have Christ City pastors in India, that in fact we are sponsoring 204 church plants in India right now, and some in other parts of Africa, but 204 Christ City pastors and church plants directly in India right now. And many of those pastors are out in villages and regions where people have never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And they're out there winning souls, and people are being baptized and coming to the Lord. It is a tremendous ministry. Also, with CTI, June 22nd of this year, when Pastor Frank emailed me, or texted me, and told me that the government had approved our curriculum, it still has to go through on-site testing. The government officials are going to come to the class situations and give the final approval. But on that very same day, Dr. Sam from India emailed me and asked that he could bring his entire New Life School of Ministry, their church planting school under Christ City Theological Institute as well. The timing was amazing, and so we're already fully affiliated with India as well. So there's a great work of God that is taking place, and thank you for your prayers and all your partnership, everything you do for the cause of the kingdom of Christ in this place. We're working together. The Lord has also blessed us with printing and translation and teaching materials out of this church. And over many years, the teachings have gone out and books have gone out. I only have one in my hand here this morning, Beginnings in Christ, which is our foundations course. But Pastor Gideon in Kenya, Pastor Gideon and Evelyn Madenyo, they have a sweeping ministry. It's amazing. Their goal as of two, 3 years ago was to train 72,000 Christian workers and pastors in Kenya, Tanzania, and now they're starting to reach into Ethiopia and other places. And in the last 3 years or four, they're already at 27,000 trained workers, and they've taken Beginnings in Christ and translated. There are over 22,000 Beginnings in Christ in the hands of pastors and Christian workers in Kenya right now, and Tanzania and other places. And Pastor Benjamin Wamasuru as well, Jesus Forever Seminars, he has five centers in Uganda where he goes out into different parts of Uganda and takes Beginnings in Christ, the Ruth book, Fire Anointings, different books. They're translated, they're printed. We pay for all costs of printing. And to date, there are, you know, the Lord doesn't bless exaggeration, so we want to be honest, but I'm sure there are at least 40,000 books in the nations of the world. In India and Africa, Philippines, Bishop Bagutai has translated 2,500 or printed 2,500 copies of different books for the Bible College, all his pastors. So there is a wonderful work of the Lord that is taking place in the nations, and it's because we work together for the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I trust you can invest your prayers more fully and finances and spirit, because God is doing a great and awesome work. Write the vision. Write the vision. That he may run that reads it. The vision is for an appointed time, and God will unfold the future. Remember not the former things. Don't consider the things of old. I will do a new thing. God wants to put a new, fresh spirit on us. No matter where we've come, no matter what we've done, what we've written, what we've accomplished, God wants to put a fresh spirit on the church and on each of our lives to go further with God and become fruitful, because the Bible says even in old age we shall be fresh and flourishing to declare the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah, life that is ever new. So today I want to quickly touch on Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, and let's look to the Word of God. Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 3, first of all in the King James Version. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. God takes us out of a place of desolation, and I ministered on this verse last week. A place where he puts seed into us, and we begin to travail, and we bring forth fruit. Sing, O barren, God says, break forth into singing, because more will be the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. God wants to make us fruitful and cause us to multiply. Then verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains. You enlarge the place of your tent and let them. This ministry God has given us is not something we can do by ourselves. Let them stretch. It takes people that work together. It takes men and women that invest their lives for the cause of the gospel. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. This is the word of God. This is the vision of God. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Do not spare. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Stretch out the curtains for shelter and salvation for the people. Now, New King James Version, Isaiah 54, 2 to 3. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Don't hold back. Don't get comfortable. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right hand and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then shall the end come. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Teach them the word of God. We have a call as a church. It's local, it's national, but it's international. Go and make disciples of all the nations. So the Bible says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, stretch out the curtains. Today the message is pegs, cords, and curtains. Number one, what do the pegs speak of? The pegs speak of truth. Pegs of truth, the tent pegs of truth. Ecclesiastes 12, 10 to 11 says, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. They prod the righteous along. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails or tent pegs given by one shepherd. There's only one shepherd of the sheep, one great shepherd of the sheep, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. These words that God gives are like, it says, tent pegs. And we are the ones who are to strengthen the stakes. We're to pound the tent pegs into the earth around us and secure our life. These tent pegs are the truths of God. Tent pegs are the truths of God, the teachings of the Word of God. This morning, the Lord says, strengthen your stakes. He says, I want you to enlarge your dwelling place. I want some new understanding in you. Take your tent pegs and put them out a little farther and drive them into the earth and increase your understanding. Increase your knowledge of the Lord. So there are courses available. Why don't you sign up for some courses? Maybe come to some classes you've never attended in the church, but you're saying, I want to increase my knowledge of the Lord. I'm going to drive the pegs in a little further. I'm going to increase my understanding and knowledge of the Lord in all areas where I'm already living and dwelling. You know what happens with tent pegs? You have to drive them into the ground. And you have to drive them in so they stay. You don't want them to loosen. We have to drive the truths of God into the soil so they hold. So we're not moved away from prayer ever in our life. So that praise and worship holds in our life and we never give it up. Tithing and giving and attendance of church, we never give up the tent pegs. We drove them in so deep in our life that wind and storm can't dislodge them. Trial and difficulty can't dislodge the truths that we've anchored our lives to. Strengthen your stakes. Sometimes people bump against your tent. Sometimes wild beasts come and brush up against your tent. Sometimes some pretty powerful winds can blow. Some storms can come and the tent pegs have a tendency to begin to loosen. But God says, drive them in deep. Drive them in deep. One of the ways we drive the tent pegs in is to shout amen to the Word of God when it's preached. Shout amen when the Word is preached. Clap your hands to the Word of God. Drive those tent pegs in and become solid in your understanding of the Word of the Lord. First thing, if you're going to have a proper tent, well, you have to have three things, pegs, cords, and a curtain, don't you? So we're working on the pegs. We're going to drive the truths of God deep into our life. Number two, the cords of prayer. Cords speak of prayer. Ephesians 6:18. And see, it's the cords that pull the fabric. They pull the covering over the tent and anchor them to the stakes. The cords are the pressure. The cords are the pull so that we have a shelter and a covering for people and for ministry. Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, Paul said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. It's the wonders of the gospel. That utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the wonders of the gospel, the truths, the beauty of the knowledge of the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is the pressure that pulls a covering over the people of earth, a covering of the Lord. We must call on the name of the Lord. We must invoke the name of the Lord. The Bible says Abraham built altars and called on the name of the Lord. He invoked the name of the Lord. Now, the name that was most predominant for him was the name El Shaddai. And he called on that name El Shaddai, God the nourisher, God the feeder of his people. And look what took place because he pulled on that name in God. The Bible is full of the revelation of the name of God, and we must invoke the name. We must pull in the power and presence of God through our prayers. Pull on God. Pull hard in prayer. Intercede in prayer. Put some strain into the spirit realms in your prayer. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Speak in other tongues. Ask the Holy Spirit for utterance so you can pray in the Spirit as the Bible says. Bible says the Holy Spirit will pray through us with groanings, with gushings, with yearnings and longings, and that we also pray in the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit prays in us, calling on the Lord and stretching out the tent curtains. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 to 17. The Apostle Paul said, "Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased," having hope, says, I have expectation that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. This takes the entire church. The preaching of the gospel, though there are few individuals that really maybe carry the word out to the nations, it is a corporate effort or it does not happen. That as the faith of the congregation is enlarged and increased, and we're enlarged in ministry because we work together in the work of God, we can preach the gospel in regions beyond. And not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Stretching out through faith. Then we have 1 Corinthians 16:9. "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Paul was well aware that when the gospel is set to go forth, there is a great opposition by enemy powers. Satan comes against the work of the Lord. We do have great and effective doors open to us as a church. And there are many adversaries. There are many forces that like to try to break the vision, tear down faith, dislodge the unity, break the covenant. There are many forces working against the church all the time. One of Satan's main tasks is to disrupt the peace and the unity of the church so the church cannot carry the gospel as God intended. A great and effective door has been opened. There are many adversaries. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you." Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, that it may be glorified. The inference is if we don't pray, the word of the Lord will not run swiftly, and the word of the Lord will not be exalted and glorified among the people. So today, pegs of truth and cords of prayer. It's a call to prayer in the house of God. The Lord is calling us to prayer, to strain in the prayers of the house of God and to strain in the prayers of the kingdom. Paul said there was a man in Colossae, Epaphras. He says he's always praying fervently for you. He's agonizing is the word. He's laboring fervently in prayer. This man Epaphras, that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's the kind of effort it takes for people to grow and mature and be found in the image of Christ. We have prayer before Sunday services, morning and evening. Hour before morning and evening service is what it's turned into. It used to be half an hour, but quite a number of people are starting to come earlier than that, so it's an hour before service, especially Sunday mornings. And we seek the Lord. We call on God because we need His presence. We want to bring a covering of salvation over people in this place. Amen. And Tuesday night, for many, many years now, is our Christ City prayer from 7 till 8:30. We have a short exhortation at 7:05 to 7:15. And then for an hour and 15 minutes, we press in and pray in this sanctuary. And we're so thankful that we can have so many people come. 150, 200, sometimes more than 200 people are in this sanctuary on Tuesday nights, walking these aisles, lifting hands, crying out to God, kneeling, dancing, shouting. Music is playing, and we are calling on the name of the Lord. If you have never come to Christ City Prayer on Tuesday night, why don't you start this Tuesday? September is here. It's the start of a new year in church life. Come and learn how to pray and call on God and give yourself to the ministry of the prayers of the saints. It'll lift your life. It'll change your life. See, the Lord says, strengthen the stakes. The Lord says, lengthen the cords. Pull on the cords. Why don't you lengthen the prayer cords of your life? Take up some new prayers. Take up some fasting prayers. Go further than you have before in your prayer life, because there is a purpose in it. We can stretch a tent over many more people as we seek the Lord and pray. And so we come to the third point, curtains of shelter. Curtains of shelter, the canopy. We understand how the tent needs the pegs, it needs the cords for that covering to rest properly for the people within. Curtains of shelter. Isaiah 4, 5 to 6, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies. We've come to Mount Zion this morning. This is Mount Zion. This is the assembly of the Lord. And in Old Testament terms, the presence of the Lord was spoken of as a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Cloud by day and fire by night over the tabernacle or house of God. For over all the glory, that is the kabod, the glory of God, the presence of God, will be a covering, a canopy for the people. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. We stretch out the curtains, God says. Stretch out the curtains. Make sure those tent pegs of truth are deeply embedded in the soil, anchored properly. Pray and stretch out the cords and stretch out that fabric as far as you can. Stretch out the ministry of the church as far as you can. How many people can we get under the salvation of God? How many people can we bring out from the heat of the day and from the burning pestilence? How many people can we bring out of a life that is broken under enemy powers and bring them into the protection and the comfort and the blessing of the Lord that we enjoy every day and every week of our lives? How far can we stretch the tent? How far can we pull out the curtains that will bless widows and orphans in the nations? How many pastors can we bless? How many church planters can we sponsor? How many teachings? How many prayers? How much in finance can we get out to the nations of the world so the people of the world are gathered into the presence of the Lord and come under the salvation and security and shelter of his presence? Isaiah said, stretch out the curtains. Let them stretch out the curtains of the dwelling place of the Lord. Come on, he said, do not spare. Do not spare. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. Pull the covering over the people so they're blessed. Isaiah 61 says, 3-4, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, O Lord. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. How many are thankful you're under the covering of God's presence today? Hallelujah. My, what a shelter we have. What a peace, what a joy, what a life we have in the presence of the Lord. This is the joy of the whole earth. There's nothing greater than being in the house of God together, worshiping and praying and fellowshipping and receiving the word of the Lord into our hearts. This is Mount Zion, and God is a shelter for us. Isaiah 25, 4 says, for you, Lord, have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. The blast of the terrible ones, the enemy powers, sin, darkness, demonic agents. It's like a storm against the wall. But God says, I'll be a strength to the poor. I'll be a strength to the needy in his distress. I'll be a refuge from the storm and a shade from the heat. Now the Lord says, you know, stretch out. Pull out that canopy as far as you can. Bring people under the life and the salvation and the blessing of the Lord. Well, this morning, pegs of truth, cords of prayer, and curtains of shelter. How many want to give your lives more and more into the work of the Lord? reach out. Do not spare. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not spare. Do not spare. Don't become satisfied with where you are. There's always more in God. He has fresh vision for you. He'll reveal new things. We don't want to spare. Do not spare, because the Apostle Paul said, those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. But those who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. How many want a bountiful supply and a wonderful harvest in the Lord? Let's stand together this morning as we close out. If you would like prayer for any need, any situation, you want to dedicate your life to the Lord in a fresh way, please slip out from where you are and come to the altars. We have a feast for everyone today at the end of the service, and people have been preparing in the banquet and fellowship department for all of you to be fed today. We want to fellowship around the tables together, but we want to take a few minutes. If you have a need, if you need to draw close to the Lord, please come to the altars and seek the Lord for a few minutes. Prayer team will be here. But as we close out right now, let's thank God for his goodness. Let's thank the Lord for his shelter. And as we stand before the Lord, let's ask the Lord, Father, I make a fresh commitment to you. I'm going to strengthen the stakes. I'm going to press on in the knowledge of the Lord. I'm going to pound some new truths into my life. I'm going to increase my understanding of some of the truths of the Lord that I've walked in. Make commitment today to stretch out the cords. You're going to pray in new ways, in new faith. Give yourself to new avenues of prayer in the house of the Lord. And all because we want the covering of God's presence over as many people as we can get to in the lifetime of this church. Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord together.